Son of man, I have appointed you as sentry to the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, warn them in my name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, Ezekiel and our Lord lay a very heavy burden on us this morning. Their words fall awkwardly on the ears of contemporary people. St. Paul, in his epistle, though, lightens the burden a little bit in that he opens a window for us to understand the actual dynamic of what that burden is that Ezekiel and our Lord lay upon us. Ezekiel, the prophet in our first lesson, is appointed by God as sentry or watchman to the house of Israel. And God tells him, orders him to warn the house of Israel with the words that God himself gives him. And God says, if you don't, I will hold you responsible for their guilt. Well, in our gospel reading, Jesus says pretty much the same thing, but in a little gentler way. And he sets out a formula for bringing faults of another person out into the open, offenses that they have committed. This isn't, we need to make clear, a license for self-righteous busybodies to be nosing around in other people's business. No, this is a costly, difficult conversation between two people. It's the kind of conversation that when it needs to happen between two people, we usually run from it. We avoid having to have that conversation. That's the kind of conversation we're talking about. It's an action within the community of love. The tone for this whole instruction of Jesus is set in his very first words. If your brother sins against you. This isn't about strangers. This isn't about the guy across the hall who does things that drives you crazy and you want to confront. This is about something that happens between brothers and sisters. Those of us who find ourselves within the family of those united in the love of God. Avoid getting into debt. St. Paul admonishes us in our epistle lesson, our second reading. Avoid getting into debt. Accept the debt of mutual love. If you love your fellow men, you have carried out your obligations. Well, first you might wonder what this little portion of St. Paul's epistles has to do with the warning, with the admonition of God to Ezekiel and our Lord's words to us. I mean, what does confrontation have to do with love? I mean, the two in our imagination sort of are two separate categories. Confrontation is somehow harsh, and love, we think, should be gentle. What does the one have to do with the other? St. Paul, in this reading, makes it clear, and the intensity of his words could have passed over your mind without seeing them, because it's quite subtle. He makes it clear that it is only in the love of God and neighbor that we are able to keep the rest of God's commandments. And he even goes so far as to say this: love is the one thing that cannot hurt your neighbor. Everything else besides love, everything else besides loving him or loving her, your neighbor, is in fact an offense. That's why when we make our confession, we not only confess the sins that we have committed, but we also confess the sins of omission, those actions of love which should have been exercised towards others, but in fact, simply in not acting in love, we have offended because we have acted otherwise than love. Love is the only action that we can have between each other that doesn't offend. But remember, it's difficult for us to approach the church's idea of love, the kind of love that was revealed in Christ and articulated by the apostles in the New Testament. It's really difficult for us to get at what that love is. It can't be said enough that the love we're speaking here is not those selfish forms of human love which permeate our culture. And we think of those as love, and in a way they share in love's good, but they aren't real love. What Pope Benedict refers in his encyclical on the love of God, he refers to these forms of love where the real object is actually ourselves. He says these are manifestations of the selfish intoxication of personal happiness. Christian love, he says, is genuine concern and a selfless care for the other person. It involves necessarily, he says, a renunciation, a renouncing of the self. And it is ready and willing for sacrifice. And this is precisely why Ezekiel is told to admonish the people in the name of God. And that is precisely why we are called upon to confront each other's offenses. Not because we are busybodies, and not because we want a community of busybodies, but simply because we love each other. And because true love is always united with truth. G.K. Chesterton once said that oftentimes people sort of imagine the church in its sort of softer, fluffy side as an oasis of peace within a world of conflict. And he said the opposite is in fact the case. The church is an oasis of conflict within a world of false peace. All is not well in the world, and we know it, but fear dissuades us from confronting its ills. We'd rather cover our eyes and block our ears to the cries of injustice, the cries of pain in those around us. All is not well between us and our neighbors, and we know it. But fear makes us unable to address those problems. All is not well within us, within our souls, within our minds, within our hearts. But fear makes us so often pretend otherwise, as if all is somehow well enough. Jesus, this morning, admonishes us as his followers, as his brothers and sisters, to be, it's a challenge. It requires courage on all our parts. He calls us to be an oasis of conflict within a world of false peace. Don't pretend that all is well, and then go on living lives of quiet agony and despair and loneliness. Instead, he says, love one another. Son of man, I have appointed you as sentry to the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, warn them in my name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.